these every spiritual blessings that we have. Or some of them. Say again. Grace and peace. Chosen by him. Holy and blameless.
Focus of his love.
Adoption. Yeah, for his pleasure and will.
Forgiveness,
the riches of his grace.
Redemption's wisdom.
Redemption. These are all pretty good things, aren't they? And if Lee clicks on the thing, I think these are the few that I'd kind of found. You've mentioned pretty much all of them, I think, actually. And that's great there, thank you. Undeserved rewards as well, yeah. No, not rewards that we have earned, they are undeserved. Back to this word blessings, and that's perhaps why we don't have an adequate word for it. We're so wrapped up in the idea we have to earn things that we only have this kind of word over here, blessings, because it's such a rare thing in our culture and society, isn't it? Again, just one of the things that when we go out to Uganda is just smacks you in the face all the time is gratitude for the little that we bring. And again, we are underwhelmed in our society with gratitude, aren't we? Because we just take things for granted. We expect things. We demand things. But these are about undeserved, freely given. And we just have to accept them. Doesn't compute. Why is it? It's so hard for us, because of our nature, to accept that God wants to lavish his love upon us. We talk about luck, yeah. 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 Instead of blessings, we might say you're fortunate or you're lucky. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I missed the last bit.
I'm trying to make a mental note whenever I feel like I'm
yeah.
I'm
yeah. That's right. Kind of. Yeah. I think, okay, let's maybe take that as something we can go away and try and embed in our minds. Just the sense of daily gratitude and thanksgiving for all that God has given us. Again, we could spend quite a bit of time on that, but soak them up. You are holy and blameless in Christ. You are adopted as a son or a daughter. We have redemption. You have been bought back. The price has been fully paid for you and for me as a slave. It's the picture of the slave market, somebody coming along, paying a ransom, and they're free. We've been completely and utterly forgiven. Talked about forgiveness in that Explore DVD. Yeah, we're recipients of that. How much more should we forgive? We'll come back to forgiveness if we have time later. We've had the revelation of God's mystery to us. Not everything, but bits and pieces of it. Wow, what a thing. People are searching, inquiring, aren't they? Desperate to find life's mysteries, the answers to it. We have the revelation of God's mystery in Christ. And as Jody was sharing, you know, what a privilege to be able to just share that in a way that is perfectly natural and just offering, as God offers to us. He doesn't impose it, but it can unlock people's lives, can't it? And we are God's inheritance. Fantastic. Okay, let's move on. In fact, all of these verses, 3 to 14, actually, we should have read without a pause, because it's written as one sentence. It's like Paul is just splurging it out. What a fantastic God we've got, all of this stuff. No punctuation, which is why you get slightly different translations in different bits. Now, this thing about heavenly realms, okay, it intrigued me a bit. What does this thing mean, heavenly realms? Let's try and walk through this a little bit and see what I've discovered and maybe some things that you've got more as well. First point. Okay, it's another important concept in the book of Ephesians. It's mentioned 5 times, so let's look them up. So we've got chapter 1, verse 3, which we've read, which says, he's blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Okay, so that's the first time. And it's also mentioned, if somebody can read it, in chapter 1, verse 20. Seated Christ at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Chapter 2, verse 6. Okay, so Christ has gone there. We are now in there as well. Chapter 3, verse 10. Okay, so there's rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. And finally, chapter 6, verse 12.
We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly realms.
Spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly realms. Okay, so we get a bit of a flavour of that, and I think we can get a more of a flavour from other parts of the Bible as well. If you click on the next one, Lee, thank you. This phrase, kingdom of the heaven, or kingdom of heaven, kingdom of the heavens, it should be actually, that's used in Matthew a lot. In fact, it's only used in Matthew 32 times, nowhere else in the New Testament, is another perhaps phrase that is very similar to the heavenly realms. Our Western mindset separates out heaven up there and earth down here. The Hebrew mindset was much more about the heavens and the earth being all part of God's creation. In fact, the earth is the first heaven. And this air that is breathing in, that Paul says, God is closer to us than the molecules of air that we're taking into our lungs when he was addressing the council at Athens. That's all part of the first heaven as far as the Hebrew mindset goes. So there's another phrase, kingdom of the heavens. So it's all integrated. It's not heaven and earth kind of totally separate. The next bit is about ascension. Do you like that coming up, ascending? I like that. Jesus, it says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, passed through the heavens. And Ephesians 4, verse 10, he ascended far above all the heavens. Hebrews 7:26, he was made higher than the heavens. So Jesus has gone there. And we talked about it in one of those verses that we read, didn't we? In Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father in the heavenly realms. So through his ascension, that is where Christ now is. Right now, right since the time he ascended, right through all eternity. That is where Christ sits, rules and reigns, in the heavenly realms at the right hand of the Father. And we are in Christ with him, sat as if it were right next to him. Right next to him. And that's as real a position as it is you sat on your chair here now. It's in spiritual reality terms absolutely, completely true. Not because of anything we've done, but because of where Jesus has gone to for us and we are in him. And then the next bit. Okay, so if he's up there and we're down here, I don't think this word exists, descension, but it ought to, didn't it, really? Christ has ascended, and because he's ascended, Jesus and the Father sent the Holy Spirit. So the connection between the heavenly realms and the earth is through God sending his Holy Spirit. And who lives in us, each one of us, if we're belonging to Christ? It's the Holy Spirit, isn't it? Christ within us, the hope of glory. So he's put that within us, sending down that connection between earth and heaven. If that connection is true, then we need to understand what the realities of heaven are so that we can bring more of it down to earth. Okay, so it's going up, there's going down, and in between, there's levels and ladders, I've called it, angels and spiritual rulers. Do you remember the story of Jacob, who, when he was driven out, wasn't he, and he was asleep at this on this rock at Peniel, and God revealed himself to him as a ladder with angels ascending and descending. It was like a glimpse way ahead of when Christ was going to come of what that connection between earth and heaven is. And he built an altar there. Wow, this is an awesome place that God has spoken to me. He's revealed something about his connection with us, and that there are angels that connect us as well as the Holy Spirit. Paul was caught up into what he called the third heaven. Perhaps somebody would like to turn to this. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 2. 2 Corinthians 12, 2. Sorry, can you carry on reading a bit, Louise, actually?
And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise and heard inexpressible things that a man is not permitted to tell.
That's great. That's fine. Thank you. And he's talking about himself, isn't he? I mean, he's trying to say, I know a man, but actually it's me, him, Paul. And he had this revelation of God. You remember Peter also had this revelation Cornelius was coming to him, I can't remember now, when the sheep descended from heaven and the things that were unclean, God revealed to him, no, they're not. Everything I made is clean, if you take it in the right way. So revelation comes because of this level and ladder. We have an access that is through different levels of the heavens. I don't know anybody who's had a revelation like Paul, let's be honest. But wouldn't it be amazing if you just got a touch of heaven and had the reality of that so impacting you, or like Jacob, that it changed your world? For everybody who meets Christ as their Saviour, that's happened. For everybody who gets filled with the Holy Spirit, that's happened. We need more of that, don't we? We need more of that if we're going to bring more of heaven down through those levels, down through all those principalities and powers onto earth. Next one. Heavens and the earth, the now and the not yet. Jesus talked about the kingdom of God being at hand, right here, right now, not fully or completely, but enough to make a tangible difference to real life. Accessible and available to all, to tax collectors, prostitutes, failed merchant bankers, prime ministers and pimps. It's a foretaste of the eventual full works of heaven, that God has made that foretaste available to us here and now. The present availability of the infinite, eternal, limitless life of God now crashing through into our messed up, self-sufficient worlds. Isn't that interesting? A little leaf just dropped. Crashing through into our self-sufficient, messed up world and lives, breaking through our social niceties. Jesus touched the lepers, the unclean, demolishing religious rules and saying, I want to have that relationship with you. So we've got that foretaste of heaven now at hand, but it's also not yet. We haven't got the whole works. God's plan is to redeem the whole created order. There will be a new heaven and a new earth. And that's where the kingdom of God will be on earth as it is in heaven. In the meantime, we pray the prayer. Last point. Binding and loosing. So Jesus told his disciples, if you remember, that whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose in either place is loosed as well. And I think this is worth looking at as well, actually. If you turn to Matthew chapter 18 and verse 18. Because I think this is such a key thing about how we can bring more of heaven on earth. Somebody like to read that?
I tell you the truth. Whatever you bind on earth will have been bound in heaven, and whatever you release on earth will have been released in heaven.
Okay, and now if you've got that passage open, if you look at verses 15 to 17 before it, What's the passage talking about immediately prior to that?
King Sin.
being sinned against, and forgiveness and restoration. Is it an accident that Jesus chooses to talk immediately after that about, I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. I don't think it is an accident. I think forgiveness is such a key to binding those spiritual forces that hold people's lives captive. If Steve has done something against me and I don't forgive him, I'm holding him captive. As well as him needing to receive forgiveness, I need to give it. And that looses something in the heavens. And it looses it on earth. Isn't it amazing? If you've got an issue, we'll pause it actually right now and pray about this. If there's people you've got issues with and you need to forgive them, however hard that is, 70 times 7, if you do it, it releases something. It gives God permission to go into their lives in a way that cannot happen any other way. And it also binds those spiritual authorities who would seek to hold that person in a state of captivity. Let's pause to just pray 1 second. Think about people you might want to forgive. You might have done it 69 times 7. Do it 70 times 7. Lord, we thank you that in you we are forgiven, one of the many spiritual blessings you've given to us. Freely forgiven us, Lord, everything that we've ever done wrong, thought wrong, left undone, could have done. Lord, everything that we are going to do wrong as we come to you daily and receive your forgiveness. Lord, thank you that the slate is wiped totally clean. Thank you that you have free access into our lives because we've received that and because of what Christ has done. And Lord, we choose to release those who have sinned against us. Lord, we forgive them as you have forgiven us. And Lord, for those who are struggling with that right here, right now, Lord, I pray that you'd help them to get through on that. Whatever is the cause of the offence, Lord, that they would be free and they would set the other person free as well. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you might want to talk about that with somebody afterwards if you think that's appropriate. Okay, so just to wrap up on this little bit, and we're never going to capture anything of like all the stuff we should be doing, but we'll have a quick canter through. Heavenly realms, what I've kind of taken from this, there are levels, they are connected, what happens in one affects the other. We live in both, and in fact all of those levels, in Christ, now and in the future. There's a place of revelation we need to get into. And when we connect with these heavenly realms, that's how we get into it, through the Holy Spirit. We have been given a place and authority in both earth and the heavens, and forgiveness is a key weapon to loosing the power of heaven here on earth. That's good stuff, isn't it? That, to me, is the core of what I wanted to bring, actually. I think it's 12:10. We're going to just whip through one or two other things, and I think maybe what we'll do is we'll circulate the slides afterwards. There's some notes on there, you can follow it up. Here's the bits that we would have covered. God's choice and our choice. And if Lee clicks it one more time. Thankfully, I'm not going to have to explain all this now. Phew. If anybody has got nice, neat answers for all of those things, then you're doing better than all the theologians of history who struggle to understand how these things weave together, like that vine that Brig was talking about earlier. How does our choice and God having chosen us fit together? What about all this nature-nurture debate? We know our backgrounds affect so much of how we look on things. And that was mentioned also in the Explore DVD or this discussion afterwards. Okay, my quick summary on this, and this is my personal view. I put a disclaimer on it. Free will. Okay. I don't think anybody, no human being, has free will. Discuss. No one has it except God. I can't choose to stand on a cliff and fly. I don't have the willpower, capability to do that. So my will is bounded by my capability, my imagination, my desires, my backgrounds. I can't do that any more than I can say, let there be light. I don't have that power within me. I have a will, but I don't think it is completely free. We all, however, have a true moral responsibility for our actions. Our genes, our background, can't be used as a get-out-of-jail-free card. Whatever background and choices we have been affected by, we still have true moral responsibility before God. God has a plan and a purpose for the whole of creation, for all time and eternity. That comes through loud and clear in that passage, isn't it? And his desire is to include in, I think it's verse 13 in that chapter 1, we have been included in Christ when we believed. It's like there's this plan over here, this swimming pool, come and be included in, jump in. He will never override our fragile but precious ability to choose. Otherwise we'd be robots. However limited or damaged our ability to choose is, whatever the consequences of our choices are, he doesn't override them. We always have to respond to him. God's sovereignty and our responsibility, the best illustration I can give is they're like the twin tracks of a railway. The parallel lines that go off into the horizon and they never meet, except where do parallel lines meet? Mathematicians. In infinity. In infinity. There is unfathomable mystery in all of this. And beware of anyone who tells you they've got it all sussed. That's my summary. Let's move on. God's plan and purpose is to bring about all things being in order. Just as his creation was originally good, connecting the present disconnected messiness in a kingdom of perfect justice, joy, peace, beauty, goodness. Wow, wouldn't that be great? What a place to live. Feed your spirits on those things. The verses in Ephesians chapter 1 talk about summing things all up. It's like putting all the figures in the column, and literally that's what the illustration is, adding things up. Things will add up. In our lives, in my life, your life, I'm sure there are many things that just don't add up. You know the news readers at the end of the news session, they kind of get their papers and they shuffle them and they put them in order. It's kind of like that. God is going to do that to the whole of creation. Things will be restored when they're disjointed. So we live in the now, but let's carry with us that scent of a future and a hope that is where everything is in order. There's a gap, there's a big gap, isn't there, between that and where we're at now. There's a huge gap, and suddenly into view comes a reality that we catch a glimpse of. And there's a couple of little quotes from C.S. Lewis that maybe I'll just leave you with. From his book Mere Christianity, he says, "If we discover a desire within us that nothing in this world can satisfy, also we should begin to wonder if perhaps we were created for another world. These things, beauty, the memories of our own past, are good images of what we really desire. But if they are mistaken for the thing itself, they turn into dumb idols, breaking the hearts of their worshippers. For they are not the thing itself, they are only the scent of a flower we have not found, the echo of a tune we have not heard, news from a country we have never yet visited." I used this slide about 3 years ago. Just before Steve, my son, and I went off to Nepal and did a trek, I used a picture that was almost identical to that. I'd never yet visited that place. We went there. But mountains do it for me. I don't know what does it for you. Mountains do it for me. They just inspire, you know, worship, and they're just awesome. And I stood there and took that picture. I've been there. I can testify to it. If you've caught a glimpse of heaven, just like Jodie did, you can say that. I've been there. Come and see it. Isn't it amazing? The scent of a flower we've not found. People are searching for God. They don't know what they're looking for. news from a country we've never yet visited. You visited it if you're in Christ. Last one, go on, quick whip for him. Present reality, the Holy Spirit, Christ is in us. It's a down payment, it's a guarantee, it's a taste of what's to come. And we are sealed, we are owned by Christ. Don't open until the full redemption. Next one, Lee. Okay, thank you, that one there. The kingdom prayer. Look through the prayer that perhaps we'll finish by praying together. It's all about God's kingdom on earth as in heaven. Your kingdom come, your will be done. And then yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory. In the middle, look at the bits in the middle, and it's about how you bring the kingdom of God into this messiness. It talks about our physical needs, daily bread, our relational needs, with forgiveness again at the heart of it, our spiritual needs, the battle around temptation, connecting earth and heaven. And the last one. Okay. Again, we could spend a long time on this, but within Reading, we're trying, and the churches across Reading, the DVDs that we're seeing week by week by week are part of this vision of how do we transform, how do we bring heaven to earth within Reading, in all of the spheres of creation, education, the arts, the church itself, healthcare, wherever. This is the vision that the church in Reading has, and about bringing more of heaven to earth. These DVDs are really fantastic resources showing what God's people are doing in the town. You won't be able to read the next couple of bits. If you click a couple more times, Lee, again, you'll see it when we circulate the slides. But we're trying to express what does it mean for the kingdom of God to come in our schools, in our businesses, in the area of crime, in the area of entertainment, in politics. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we saw more of this stuff on heaven, on earth as in heaven? How do we do it? It's only by seeing ourselves as one church across Reading, having one strategy to bring the kingdom in. One mission, however it's expressed in different communities. Ownership by individuals, by churches, by groups, right across the town about how we can affect our town. Joined up visibility. On Tuesday night, we've got the chief executive of the Reading Borough Council talking to the Anglican Deanery Synod, whatever that is. But we're doing that because we've got a relationship with him, because we're building links. And so there's more opportunities now to bring heaven to earth through God's people than at any other time, because there's such a mess going on elsewhere. So let's stand and let's finish by praying that prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. You can use whatever words you like, old words, new words, but let's pray it together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.